Welcome back to the deep dive. Today is, well, it's one of those days. You know how people talk about where they were when the iPhone launched or when the internet first really clicked for them?
Those where were you when
Yeah,
moments, yeah.
exactly. And today, February 9, 2026, it really feels like one of those. If you've been anywhere near a screen, your phone, a monitor, anything, you know why. The headlines are just screaming.
But they're screaming two completely opposite things. It's a bit of a chaotic morning.
Chaotic is putting it lightly. I mean, on one hand, you have the software dream, the official launch of AI.com. It's here, it's out of
Get
beta.
the promise of a butler, a personal assistant, a coder, all in one.
Right. The era of agentic AI has officially begun. But then you scroll down just a tiny bit on your news feed and you hit this wall of hardware reality. The physical stuff we need to actually run this magic software is hitting a price point that is, frankly, it's insulting.
And that's the trade-off. It is the defining trade-off of the 2026 tech landscape. We're getting this incredible agentic convenience, but we're slamming into a hardware scarcity wall.
So that's our mission for this deep dive. We're going to try to make sense of this split personality. We're going to look at what AI.com actually does.
Because it's not just another chatbot.
Not at all. Then we have to follow the money. We're talking $600 billion.
Billion with a B.
Exactly. And of course, we have to talk about the consumer nightmare that is the new NVIDIA graphics card pricing.
And for this, we've got a really interesting stack of sources. We're pulling from the official launch papers for AI.com, Q1 financial guidance from the Big Four, and some very juicy supply chain leaks about TSMC and NVIDIA that dropped this morning.
Okay, so let's start with the shiny new thing. AI.com, they had that Super Bowl ad, which was super cryptic, and then today, boom, it's live.
And almost immediately it was dead.
I know. I tried to log in around 8 a.m., and all I got was a 404 error. The traffic must have been absolutely monumental.
It crashed the servers multiple times in the first few hours. But, that crash tells you something about the demand. People aren't just curious.
They're desperate for what this thing promises.
Right, but okay, back up for a second. We've had ChatGPT, we've had Claude, Gemini for years now. What makes AI.com so different? Why is this the agentic moment?
The distinction is huge. Think of the AI we've had for the last few years, the LLMs, as a really, really smart librarian.
Okay, a librarian. Passive.
Exactly. It's passive. You ask a question, it finds the answer in its books, it gives you the text. But an agentic model, that is not a librarian. That's like a chaotic but highly efficient intern.
It has hands.
It has hands. That's a terrifying image, but yeah.
Metaphorical hands, of course.
Yeah.
But it means the system can do things. The sources are calling AI.com a large action model.
So it doesn't just tell you how to book a flight.
No, it logs into your United account. It selects the seat you usually prefer, uses your stored credit card, and then sends the calendar invite to your spouse.
As long as I give it permission, I hope.
Yes. The human in the loop is still there for the final execute command, especially for payments. But it can handle these really complex workflows. The notes say it can manage entire coding projects.
And I saw that. It's no code, right?
Completely. You don't need to know Python. You just tell it in plain English, build me a website that tracks vintage sneaker prices and alerts me when they drop below $200.
Yeah, it does it.
It writes the code, deploys the server, sets up the database, the whole thing.
See, that's where I get a little skeptical. We've been promised no-code revolutions for like a decade, and usually the code it writes is, well, it's garbage.
And that's a fair skepticism. But the launch data they put out today claims a 30% increase in operational accuracy compared to the beta versions we saw last year.
30% is a huge jump.
It's the difference between a toy and a real tool. If an agent is 80% accurate, you can't trust with a plane ticket. It might send you to Oakland instead of Auckland.
Right.
But at 99% accuracy, that's commercial viability.
This actually connects back to that deep dive we did on Robco a few weeks back.
I was hoping you'd make that connection.
Well, Robco got all that funding for the modular robotics, the physical bodies, and our big question was, great hardware, but where's the brain?
And here is the brain. AI.com is the cognitive architecture. Robco provides the chassis. You can see exactly where this is all going.
A future where everyone has their own dedicated smart assistant. And maybe eventually a robot body for it.
Scary stuff. But okay, the software is brilliant. It's agentic. It's accurate. But here's the problem that kept hitting me reading the financials this morning. This doesn't run on magic. It runs on compute.
And compute costs an astronomical amount of money.
I had to read this number three times.
Let's see this.
$100 billion. Just to be clear for everyone listening, that's what Amazon, Microsoft, Alphabet, and Meta are spending this year.
Just in 2026, yes. Yeah. It's about a 75 to 80% increase in capital spending compared to 2025.
But why? I get that AI is the future, but $600 billion, that's the GDP of a small country. Why the sudden explosion?
Because it's a land grab. Think of it like the railroad boom or building out the early internet. They're not just buying chips. They're building the power plants of the 21st century.
Data centers.
Endless rows of them. But here's the important part. They aren't just building for storage. They are building what the reports call inference farms.
Inference farms. Explain that.
So training in AI takes a ton of power. Right. We know that. But running an agentic AI where it has to think and check your email and write some code, that takes a massive amount of inference compute every single time you use it.
So every time I ask AI.com to order a pizza for me, a server rack somewhere just lights up like a Christmas tree.
Precisely. And none of these companies want to be the one that says, sorry, we can't process your request right now. So they are overbuilding. They are hoarding hardware.
And that hoarding. That's where the pain comes in for us, because if Microsoft is buying every single chip that rolls off the assembly line, what's left for you and me?
Scraps. Very, very expensive scraps.
Okay, let's talk about the NVIDIA RTX 5090, because this morning, the PC gaming forums are just, they're melting down.
It's the consumer nightmare scenario we were worried about.
I remember when the 4090 came out and people lost their minds because it was, what, $1,600?
And we all thought that was the ceiling. How naive.
So NVIDIA announces the 5090, the MSRP, the suggested price, is $2,499.
Which is already the price of a decent used car, but you can't actually buy it for that, can you?
Not a chance. I was checking the retail trackers just before we started. Huh. The street price, as of this morning, is hitting $5,000 in some markets.
$5,000 for a graphics card.
It is just, it puts high-end PC gaming squarely into the luxury item category. Mm. It's like buying a high-end watch now.
But is the card actually worth it? I mean, from a tech perspective, or is this just scalpers and inflation?
Well, the tech is impressive. It is a genuine generational leap. They've moved to the Blackwell architecture. Memory jumped from 24 gigs on the old cards to 32 gigs of this new GDDR7.
And the bandwidth numbers were just insane.
1.8 terabytes per second.
Okay, stop right there. 1.8 terabytes per second. Put that in context for me, because that's just a big abstract number.
Think of it this way. That card can process the equivalent of the entire text of the Library of Congress every few seconds.
And why do I need that to play Cyberpunk?
You don't.
Yeah.
That's the whole irony. You, the gamer, you do not need 1.8 terabytes of bandwidth to render a shadow. But the AI algorithms that are upscaling that game to look better, they do.
Okay.
And more importantly, those data centers we were just talking about, they absolutely need that bandwidth for agentic AI.
So the specs are total overkill for gaming, but they're perfect for AI.
Exactly. And that's the root cause of the shortage. It's a component issue. Mm-hmm. Specifically, that GDDR7 memory. The very same memory chips that go into your high-end gaming card are the exact same chips Amazon and Google are desperate for.
So I'm literally competing with Amazon for parts.
And Amazon has a $600 billion checkbook. Mm-hmm. You have your savings account. So NVIDIA has a choice, right? Sell a chip to a gamer for a small profit. Or put that same piece of silicon into a server accelerator and sell it to Microsoft for 10 times the profit.
So it's not just corporate greed. It's just cold, hard logistics.
Oh, the greed is there. Make no mistake. But the profit incentive for the enterprise market is just gutting the consumer market. I saw that MSI Limited Lightning Z version is already a collector's item.
Yeah, breaking price records. So if I'm a listener and I'm sitting here with my old 3080 and I was waiting for this generation to upgrade, am I just screwed?
The analyst outlook is pretty grim. They expect this shortage to last until at least 2027.
2027. Ouch.
The recommendation right now, hold on to what you have.
Yeah.
Stick to mid-range hardware if you can even find it. Or, and this is the big one, start seriously looking at cloud gaming.
We'll get back to the cloud because I think that's the end game. But first, what about the lifeboats? The console market.
It's an interesting contrast. While the PC market is suffocating, the handheld market is actually having a bit of a moment.
Right, because you don't need a $5,000 GPU for a handheld. We got news on Intel and Sony today.
Intel just introduced Panther Lake. And their whole pitch is fascinating. They're promising home console power, but the entire focus is on efficiency.
Which has always been the problem with those things. The battery life is just terrible.
Exactly. Panther Lake is trying to fix that. But the bigger rumor, and is getting a lot of traction, is the PlayStation 6 handheld.
And to be clear, this is not a streaming device like the Portal was.
No, the leaks suggest a standalone device. Native hardware, proprietary architecture. The whole goal is seamless next-gen compatibility.
That could be a game changer. If I can't afford a new PC, but I can get a, say, $600 Sony handheld that plays the new stuff, that's a huge win.
It creates a whole new middle ground. And then you have Microsoft.
Yeah.
They dropped a surprise roadmap today that feels almost nostalgic.
It felt like a greatest hits album, didn't it?
It really did. They're pushing Game Pass hard for 2026 and 2027. Forza Horizon 6 is on the list with quantum level ray tracing, whatever that means.
Sounds expensive.
It does. But then you have Fable, finally. Gears of War, E-Day. And the one that really got me.
It's got to be Halo.
Halo. Campaign Evolved. A full remake of the original game.
It's a smart play. If people can't afford the hardware for the bleeding edge, photorealistic new games, you sell them the game they already loved 20 years ago.
Nostalgia is cheap to render, but emotionally it's very expensive to buy. It keeps people locked in the ecosystem while they wait for the hardware market to sort itself out.
But let's zoom out. We keep saying shortage. Why can't we just make more chips? I mean, don't we have factories?
And that gets us into the deep state of tech. The real manufacturing bottleneck.
All roads lead to TSMC.
The Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company. The situation there is critical. Right now, TSMC is operating at 98% capacity for their 3-nanometer chips.
98%. So if one machine breaks,
it's chaos. There is zero wiggle room. And that one bottleneck hurts everyone. NVIDIA, Intel, Apple, they are all fighting for time on the same assembly lines.
And I'm guessing this creates an opening for anyone else who can make a chip.
It does. We're seeing this really fascinating rivalry pop up between NVIDIA and Broadcom.
Broadcom, I always think of them as the boring networking guys.
Not anymore. Broadcom is gaining a lot of ground by making ASICs.
ASICs, break that down for me.
Application-specific integrated circuits. So think of it this way. NVIDIA sells you a Swiss Army knife. It has a screwdriver, a knife, a file. It can do everything pretty well. That's a GPU.
Oh, okay.
Broadcom goes to a company like Google and says, you don't need the file, you don't need the toothpick, you just need a really, really sharp scalpel.
So they build a custom chip that does one thing perfectly.
Exactly. And for Google or Meta, that is way more efficient. So they're moving away from the general purpose NVIDIA chips to these custom Broadcom scalpels.
So the monopoly is cracking, just a little bit.
A hairline fracture, but it's there. And it's not just companies, it's countries too.
The geopolitical angle, I saw that note about the UAE.
Right, the G42 group. They're investing $1 billion into Vietnam to create a new AI hub.
Why Vietnam? Why not Silicon Valley or Texas?
It's a diversification play. You want to be outside the blast zone of any U.S.-China trade drama, but you still need skilled labor and cheap energy. Vietnam is positioning itself as the neutral ground for AI manufacturing.
The map is changing. The old Silicon Valley empire is facing these new colonies, declaring independence.
And they're funded by oil money. It's a global shift.
Before we wrap this part up, there's one other consequence of this agentic era we have to touch on. Security.
The dark side of the coin.
The report said 80% of CSOs, that's chief information security officers, are shifting their budgets to AI-based defense. 80% is a huge consensus for that group.
They have to. The entire landscape has changed. Hackers are now using AI to automate their attacks.
Agentic hackers.
Exactly. Imagine an AI agent that doesn't sleep, doesn't eat, and can try a million different exploits in a second. If your attacker is a machine, your defender has to be a machine.
A human just can't type fast enough to stop it.
Right. It's machine-on-machine warfare now. Mm. We're just spectators hoping our data doesn't get caught in the crossfire.
And speaking of humans becoming spectators, Codex 5.3, the new coding model.
Yeah, the data shows it's automating so much work that the demand for entry-level developers is just falling.
It connects right back to AI.com. If the AI is no code and can build the website itself, why do you need to hire a junior dev to do it?
It's a very heavy question for the workforce, but let's try to pull all this together. We've covered a lot.
We have. We have AI.com kicking off the agentic era software that acts for us. We have a $600 billion spending spree to build the data centers to run it all.
And we have a $5,000 graphics card that nobody can afford because the data centers bought up all the parts. It's a perfect storm.
So connect the final dots for me. If I'm a listener and I can't afford the hardware, but I want the software, what's the end game? Where does this leave me?
I think the key insight goes back to what we touched on earlier. The Starlink 5G infrastructure and cloud gaming.
The big shift to the cloud.
Think about it. High-end hardware is becoming a luxury item. Your top-tier PC is becoming like a classic car. It's something you own because you love tinkering with it, not because it's the most practical way to get around.
So the PC under the desk, it's dead for the average person.
For those high-end tasks, I think so, yeah. The future is almost certainly remote processing. You won't own the heavy machinery. You won't have a Blackwell GPU in your house. You'll subscribe to a service that has thousands of them in a data center somewhere.
And you just stream the result to your screen.
It just makes financial sense. If I can't afford the $5,000 up front, I'll pay $20 a month to rent a slice of a supercomputer.
We are moving from an ownership model to a rental model for computing power.
And that brings us to a final, maybe slightly provocative thought to leave everyone with. Go on.
So if AI can now code for us, shop for us, schedule our lives, and if the hardware needed to run, all of this is becoming way too expensive for a regular person to actually buy.
Are we moving toward a future where we own nothing?
That's the fear, isn't it? A future where we own nothing, but we subscribe to everything. Your creative work, your gaming rig, your personal assistant. It's all just a monthly fee you pay to one of the big four.
It's the ultimate consolidation of power. If you control the hardware and you control the agentic software, you control the user's entire reality.
We're gaining this incredible convenience today. Agentic AI is going to make life a lot easier, but the price of admission might just be ownership itself.
And that is the reality of February 9, 2026.
On that cheerful note, stay curious, everyone, and good luck finding a graphics card. We'll see you in the next deep dive.
Goodbye.